My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Brand new podcast coming out every fortnight. So make sure you subscribe. You can catch it with previous years' worth of podcasts. There's many more to come as well. Think of us as your Disney friend who pops around every other week and we just chat about Walt Disney World and nothing else because we're a little bit obsessed with it. Hit that subscribe button, then you don't miss the podcast. It's going to be catching up with Maddie on this episode. She's a children's TV presenter whose career really started by something that happened at Epcot. So we will catch up with Maddie soon. We'll get the latest news from the parks. And also answering your questions. If you've got any planning questions, if you're going to be going soon or you're thinking of booking soon, anything you want to know, do drop me a message. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at PodMagical. Give us a like, give us a follow. You can get in touch there. You can DM me there. Hello to Katie, who's looking forward to going in October. And is just wondering when the tickets for Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party will be announced. Usually, Katie, it could be any time over the next few weeks. Around the end of April, Disney usually have a halfway to Halloween celebration. So usually towards the end of April is when that has been when they've announced their Halloween parties with the dates, and they'll probably go on sale a few days after that. So follow us on the socials. Soon as this is an announcement, we will let you know. But I'm thinking towards the end of April, that's when you'll find out more about Halloween at Walt Disney World. Any questions you may have, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at PodMagical. Let's chat to Maddie now.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I love absolutely everything to do with Disney theme parks. So I can't wait to just chat with someone who gets it.
Exactly. So it's not just, is it just the Disney theme parks or is it films and theatre? Do you embrace everything Disney?
When it comes to Disney, for me, it's very much about the theme parks, first and foremost. I enjoy the films. I adore any type of musical theatre, really. But for me, it's the theme parks. They're the thing that's closest to my heart in the Disney universe.
What is it you love about Disney World, then, in Florida? What is it about that place that attracts you back?
For me, it's the theming. I think ever since I went when I was very young, I think I first went when I was 2 years old, the feeling of being completely immersed in another world is what I find so magical. I think, you know, whenever I visited other theme parks, there are very few places that manage to as successfully transport you into another place or another time. And that's what keeps me coming back. Every time Disney World will, you know, perhaps create a new area of a park, I want to go because I want to experience what it feels like to just be somewhere completely different, and for it to feel convincing for all of my senses. So that for me is the thing that I love most about it.
And if you've not been since 2019, there's going to be so many new things. Tron, Guardians, Runaway Railway.
I know. Also, actually, so I managed to see Star Wars, so Galaxy's Edge, when I visited Disneyland in Los Angeles, but I wasn't able to do Rise of the Resistance. So there is still this huge, enormous, groundbreaking ride that I'm yet to do. So I have to tell you, trying to avoid spoilers, since, you know, that first came on the scene, is extremely difficult. Now we're a couple of years on. But I was able to visit Galaxy's Edge and also got to see the sort of new Marvel area and Disney's California Adventure as well. But there's, yeah, like you say, there is so much new that has happened even in the last year that, yeah, I do need to organise a trip soon.
What do you remember about the first time you went if you were only two? Do you remember anything, or is it a case of looking back at family videos and going, oh, yeah, I think I remember that, I think?
It's hard to know what you remember and what you just recall because of photos and, you know, family videos. I think some of my fondest, earliest memories actually come from the second trip that I took, which was when my sister was born. So I probably would have been about 5 years old, perhaps five or six, and we went with my grandparents. And I've got some wonderful memories from that trip that have very much been backed up by my granddad's very basic video camera work. And he took one of those video cameras that was, you know, like an enormous suitcase that he would put on his shoulder, and he filmed just about everything. But we still have those tapes, which my mum recently, she got put onto a USB stick. So I was able to watch some of those back recently, and it was just so lovely.
Oh, precious.
But I have, yeah, so precious. But I've got strong memories of, I don't know if you'll remember this actually, but do you remember Honey, I Shrunk the Audience?
I loved Honey. My mum hated it because of the big snake, but I loved it.
Loved it, yeah. So I obviously adored it. But I've got my strongest memories are actually of the play area that I think was in what was then MGM Studios, yes. The Hollywood Studios. Did you ever, so there was a play area, and I remember there being this giant ant that you could sit on, yeah. And I've got very, very vivid memories of that. And I've also got a lovely memory. I think it was my sister's birthday we were celebrating, and we went to some supermarket because we would have been staying off property back then in a villa. And we went and got this bright blue Ariel birthday cake. And I remember that we all had blue mouths from the American icing for the next 3 days afterwards.
And probably didn't sleep for about 3 days.
So much blue icing. But yeah. But I think for me, some of the strongest memories are actually of the attractions that surprised me the most. Because I think back then it only would have been, you know, it would have felt like my first trip. I doubt I would have remembered the first one. Was the joy of the attractions that surprise you. So I remember the drops in Pirates of the Caribbean just feeling so exciting because they came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I remember, what was Ellen's adventure? Universe adventure?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that was an attraction which started out in what felt like a big cinema. And to someone who hasn't seen it before, you just think you're watching a film. And next thing you know, all of the seats in the cinema started moving and you sort of adventured into the land of the dinosaurs. And that blew my little mind. So it was attractions like that that, you know, really, really stuck with me and, you know, still do to this day.
I still have the same reaction the first time I went on Ellis, but I was in my early 20s, yeah. But it still blew me away. Right. Because I think you kind of know about pirates and, you know, the classic attractions. But when it's like Ellen's, you go, oh, well, let's just go on this. Oh, we're just sitting in here. And then, yeah, like you say, suddenly these seats turn into this big train and you're moving round. It's incredible.
I think there's just something so extra about it because, you know, up to that point, you've probably been going on, you know, lots of rides where you've maybe been sat in twos or threes, maybe a four. But what you don't expect is a bank of 100 seats to all start moving at once. I just thought that was, yeah, that really was amazing to little Maddie. I'm trying to think of others. Oh, Backlot Tour. That was a good one that's now extinct as well. So Backlot Tour at Hollywood Studios, MGM Studios. Again, you just thought you were going going on a tour of old movie props. But the next thing you know, you enter a canyon and there's water gushing down it and you become part of a disaster scene. It was so exciting.
So when was the last time you went? So you were two when you went the first time. Is it 2019, do you say you went last time?
Yeah. So 2019 was the last time I went to Disney World, but I went to Disneyland last year. So
that's
what was that, 22?
A magical place. Disneyland is a special place, isn't it? Really love it there as well. And do you stay
it's
on
a lot
property?
More intimate.
Do you stay at Disney? You said you used to stay in a villa when you went first time. Have you started to stay on site or do you still prefer to stay off?
Definitely prefer to stay on. I think now for me being on property is the only way to do it, and partly because I really enjoy the Disney transportation. I think getting between places is part of the holiday, or at least it is for me. I love the monorail. I like being able to get on boats between different hotels, different resorts and parks. But also it's just super convenient. And I guess back in 2019 as well, you know, when it came to buying Disney packages, it just made an awful lot of sense to just, you know, buy it all as one big package. But the resorts are just as themed and can be just as immersive as the parks themselves. So it's nice to be part of that Disney bubble and not have to leave it.
Particular favourite resort? Either stay in or visit, really, because obviously you can resort hop. It's quite nice to have a day doing that.
I've never done that, and I really want to.
Next time.
I really want to do that. It's something that I hear a lot of people talking about on podcasts, but that's definitely, I think, a nice way to spend a bit more of a relaxed day. Last time I went, I stayed in Caribbean Beach, and actually that was fantastic. It's an absolutely huge resort, but loved the restaurant Sebastian's. That was good. It felt like it was sort of in the middle, so it was fairly close to everywhere. But now, of course, it's got the Skyliner, which I think would be an amazing bonus, you know, a big plus to that resort. So I would happily stay there again. But I was fond of Old Key West. That was somewhere we stayed when I was younger. And there was something very homely about Old Key West. And it was getting on the boat to get over to, you know, various places was a particularly relaxing way to start the day. It was nicer to hop on a boat than it was to queue and try and get onto a bus. So those two are standouts for me, but there are plenty I'd like to visit that I've just not had a chance to. A monorail resort would be the absolute dream, but that's not something I've ever done.
Oh, Grand Floridian. Next time, Addie. Grand Floridian.
Yeah. Next time.
You mentioned Sebastian's. Is that your favourite restaurants or one of your favourite restaurants? Would you like to eat?
Sebastian's was just a really great restaurant to have at the resort, but I mean, I've got a lot of favourites. I think I think there's fantastic food at restaurants throughout all of the parks and the resorts, but I probably lean towards a slightly more themed restaurants because I think, you know, if you can get an experience and a little bit of drama and theatre whilst you're having your meal, then, you know, even better. One of my favourites that I think is actually really underestimated is Coral Reef at Epcot. I feel it often gets forgotten about because it's not part of the world area. It's kind of, you know, in the corner
of
what was the Living Seas. But that's wonderful because you're dining in the presence of, you know, the most enormous aquarium. And the last time I visited, we got a seat right up close to the glass and just got the most incredible views of various sharks and guitar fish. I would recommend eating veggie when you go there. There is something a little bit weird. The veggie
Don't
food
order
was
the
delicious.
Fish.
Exactly. Not something I could personally do. So that's something I think is really underestimated. And actually, the food was good when I went. I also love teppanyaki, so the teppanyaki restaurant in Japan, where the chefs will cook in front of you. That's always a good meal and a nice bit of theatre. I think you can't go wrong in terms of like a quick service restaurant. Hands down, my favourite would be Satouli Canteen in Animal Kingdom. In the Pandora area, it's just so nice to get something that is really tasty, but, you know, you feel like you're getting some vegetables.
Exactly. Healthy and tasty and quick and not too expensive as well. It's quite a nice all-rounder there.
Yeah.
Have you got a go-to snack?
The Mickey ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
That is something I've loved forever, and it's a classic. It hasn't gone away yet. But I'm also partial to a Dole Whip. That is something I love to do when I'm at Magic Kingdom. I do think there's something really nice and refreshing, especially on a hot day, about a Dole Whip. So both of those are fairly classic. I'll probably back myself up with a Mickey pretzel as well. But those two, I'll keep it traditional with those two.
Anything Mickey-shaped is usually very good. And also, there's a rumour that anything that's shaped like Mickey Mouse, zero calories.
I've heard that too.
Yeah.
I actually would go as far to say that's a fact, actually.
That's the rumour I'm spreading. I'm happy it's catching on.
Yeah.
Maddie is with us on this episode of the podcast. Do you have a particular favourite Disney memory? It's a tough one. You've been a few times, but it's that one go-to memory. When somebody says Walt Disney World, you think, oh, I remember the time we went.
I remember an interaction between Tigger and my grandma, I must have been about 6 years old. And that, I just remember that interaction making me laugh so much. So that's definitely up there. And then there was a show as well. So this would have been the early 90s. I remember there was a show at Epcot which had a giant metal robotic dragon in it. And I have absolutely no idea what that show was called. But that, again, is a standout. That was something that, you know, I was completely enchanted with.
I don't know that one. It wasn't the parade, was it? Was it the Tapestry of Nations parade? Or am I thinking of something else? I don't remember a show at Epcot with a dragon.
I would love any of your listeners if they could help me out here, but it was very early 90s. So it had that sort of 90s chaotic chaoticness about it. You know, everything was just really big. I can't remember what it was called. I mean, I don't think I even would have known the name when I was younger. But around a similar time, also that there was a part of Epcot where you could go to, I can't remember what it was called. It was where Body Wars was. So you could go, and there was a particular ride where you got shrunk down, and it was a simulator ride, and you were sort of pretended you were little doctors who were going through a blood vessel to go take a splinter out of somebody's body. It was called Body Wars, and that was a really good memory as well. That entire area, it was very sort of very early Epcot, the idea of edutainment.
This is old school early Epcot.
Yeah, but I would credit Epcot and edutainment for a huge, you know, being sort of like really vital to what I do now. So nowadays I make videos for kids, you know, whether that's on YouTube, I do bits and bobs on telly as well. But everything I do seems to fit into early Epcot theming. It will either be about communication, traveling the world, the living seas, or the living land. And I do laugh at myself sometimes when I sort of look at the body of work that I've done ever since visiting Disney, you know, when I was young, and going, oh yeah, that was inspired by Epcot.
It's all down to old school Epcot. There we go. Which in a way is a shame, because Epcot is changing away from that, really. You know, they're bringing in the Frozen ride and Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. But
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's just a shame that it's that edutainment that they are losing. Although, you know, you can still, I always say, have a day walking around the World Showcase and, you know, not necessarily drinking around the world, but or snacking around the world or shopping around the world, and talk to the cast members who have come from Japan or Canada. There is so much to learn. And KidCot is quite good. If you've got children, find out more about that, because there's little adventures they can do as they're going around as well. So World Showcase, there's a lot to discover and learn. But in terms of the new part of Epcot, it is kind of like lacking that education.
Yeah.
Although there's still, you know, Animal Kingdom, there's a lot of education.
Yeah.
That you can, there's a lot of things
Absolutely.
You can learn at Animal Kingdom. As a lot of parents do justify when they take their kids out of school to go to Disney World.
For me, Animal Kingdom is probably my favourite park now, simply because I love its values. I love what it's trying to do so much. But also, I think in terms of atmosphere and theming, it just absolutely nails it on the head. Every single you know, land or area you walk into, you really do feel like you've stepped into or onto another continent. I will always hold a very special place in my heart for early Epcot, and I think I'm definitely finding it hard to say goodbye to it as well, which is probably why rides such as Spaceship Earth and Living with the Land, that, you know, have stood the test of time, they're still there. They are and probably always will be my favourites.
And what is your favourite attraction overall?
Favourite attraction overall, it's a very, very hard choice between, I'd say, Spaceship Earth and Living with the Land. They're not new, they're not fancy, but I just love what they mean. Ever since going on the boat, which is how Living with the Land starts, and sort of going through this dark, misty atmosphere and then suddenly coming out into a bright greenhouse and learning about the earth and plants and hydroponics and aquaponics. I just absolutely love it. And it really did influence what I do today. And I think there's nothing quite better than the feeling of the end of the Spaceship Earth ride, which is when you suddenly come out right at the top of what is that giant golf ball. And you just see Earth from a distance. Everything's dark, the music's playing, and you can just see Earth as if you're in space. And it just feels so relaxing, calm, and, really magical. I don't think I've had a feeling like that on any other ride. So for me, Spaceship Earth might just win over Living with the Land.
We need to protect Earth, the attraction. Well, we need to protect Spaceship Earth, obviously. But yeah, the attraction as well, at all costs. Do you tend to venture outside Disney when you go, or do you just stick to the bubble, as we call it?
These days, not so much. I think it's because, you know, as years have gone on, like, the truth is Disney holidays have become more expensive. So actually venturing outside the park, you know, when you've already paid so much to be there and to be completely immersed in the bubble, I think doesn't necessarily feel worth it in the way it used to. But when I was younger and we would stay in villas, we would always go somewhere for breakfast called Ponderosa. And I've got... No, do you know it?
Yes, you've just brought back memories of Ponderosa, the Ponderosa Steakhouse. Yeah, the buffet breakfast.
So I remember the first thing we would do when we would get to Orlando Airport is my sister and I, we would run to try and find the little booklets of coupons, which were everywhere in Orlando back then. And there would always be coupons for Ponderosa breakfast, which was this buffet breakfast at this steakhouse. And we would do it every single morning before we would then go to the parks. And I remember just having, you know, just seeing tourists walking past with just plates piled high with bacon, and then me sort of, you know, getting nothing but waffles. But there was one lady who worked at a Ponderosa, and whenever me and my sister turned up, she would always say, "Good morning, girls." And that has stuck with me, you know, through the years gone on. So Ponderosa steakhouse buffet breakfast paid for with coupons. That's what I'd recommend. I think if that still happens.
First few times I went, the day started at Ponderosa. I think Ponderosa was probably the first place I saw a buffet, and I was like, oh my, what, you just help yourself to any of this? Yeah, and I learned after the first trip as well. Did you ever go in the evening for the steak dinner?
No, never went in the evening to Ponderosa, but we did used to go to somewhere, to Red Lobster. I remember going to Red Lobster in the evening.
Still love a Red Lobster. Yeah, great lobster from Red Lobster. But I think that's because we don't get good lobster in the UK. I think that's why.
I think so. But also, they had a really good cornbread. So I remember going, not particularly for lobster, but just to have as much cornbread as possible, sort of like warm, sweet, lovely biscuity rolls that we'd smother with butter. So yeah, Red Lobster for cornbread.
Oh, I miss places like, because you know when I go and I stay at Disney and you eat, because there's so many places you want to eat at Disney, I miss like, well, I don't think Ponderosa's, there's any Ponderosa's anymore. But yeah, I do love a Red Lobster. And Denny's.
There's something so Americana about it, isn't it? You know, sort of, you really get a sense of, you know, that same sort of feeling you get if you go into like an American diner. You really do feel like you're in the United States. So I see what you mean. I do kind of miss those experiences of going to what are essentially chain restaurants. But you know, to someone from the UK, it feels exciting.
Especially at breakfast when I can eat, I can see the plates and the mugs now because they all look exactly the same and they come around and top your coffee. It's just like, It is that excitement. It's like the first time you go and you see an American school bus. Whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
I am going to give you your perfect day at Walt Disney World. Now, this is not your only day at Walt Disney World. You know, we're not just sending you for 24 hours and we're sending you back. But if you're there for a while and you can have your perfect day and you can stay anywhere, and you can go anything, you can park hop whenever you want. Forget the 2 o'clock rule, that's nonsense. What would you do? Talk me through it.
Does it have to make sense?
No.
Does it have to be feasibly possible? Okay.
Well, maybe could possibly, yeah. You can't do like four parks in every single attraction and eat at every restaurant. It's going
deal.
Slightly
all right, then.
Achievable.
So if it's just one day, I'm going to assume it's the first day of a holiday, in which case I will be starting at Magic Kingdom. I think the dream way to arrive at Magic Kingdom would be via a boat. So I'm coming from a resort and I'll be getting to Magic Kingdom via some mode of transport on water.
Yeah, the big ferry,
Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, in which case, what resort have I come from if I'm on the big ferry?
Well, I mean, you can come from anywhere.
Is that the Polynesian?
You can walk from the Polynesian to the ferry terminal, or, you know, you can come from any other resort to get to the parking lot, and then, because that's the only way really, it's either the monorail or the ferry, but we're doing the ferry.
Okay, we're doing the ferry. So that's how I'm getting to Magic Kingdom. And then I would like to watch the welcome show in front of the castle.
Yeah.
And then I'd like to go to Crystal Palace for the buffet breakfast. This is a bit of a tradition, really, is starting the holiday at Crystal Palace buffet breakfast, where you get to see the Winnie the Pooh characters, but you also get to fill up on as much buffet as you possibly can. So all the Mickey waffles, please.
Totally. You've come a long way since Ponderosa. You've really upgraded from Ponderosa to Crystal Palace.
Look, if I could bring or go back in time and have a time machine, I would reintroduce Ponderosa and I'd put it somewhere convenient within the parks.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a stretch too far. So
with your coupons and the Ponderosa price.
Yeah. And then I think I'd like to spend the morning, preferably I'd like to remove all cues, please. And I'd like to do the classic Magic Kingdom dark rides. For me, the special ones would be Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean. I'd also like to do the Carousel of Progress as well, please, because that's one of my favourites.
Yeah.
because it's an absolute classic. And I think once I have, and then whilst around the Pirates of the Caribbean area, I'll go get myself a Dole Whip as well, because it will be nice. It won't be too hot, but it'll be warm. So I think I could do a nice little refreshing Dole Whip, maybe whilst watching the Tiki Birds in the Tiki Room. So I'd like to do that.
Yeah. Hitting all the classics here. I like it. Yep.
Yeah. At which point, this is really difficult because I don't want to leave out Animal Kingdom. You know what? We're going over to Animal Kingdom. So we're okay. Now going to go over to Animal Kingdom, please. And we will go to Satuli Canteen for lunch.
Yeah.
And what are we then going to do? And then we're going to see a show, because I think we'll need to sit down. So it'd be hard to pick between the Finding Nemo show and the Lion King celebration show. But I've heard that the Finding Nemo musical has recently had a little bit of a refurb. So I think I'd go see that one. Plus, it's nice and cool in there. So I think that would be a good little sit down.
Yeah.
And then have a little bit of a walk around when it starts to get cooler. So we've done like the midday sun, and then have a bit of a walk around the animals when it gets a bit cooler. And then Pandora is one of my favourite places at night. So as it starts to get dark, I'd love to do Pandora just as all of the lights are coming on.
Yes, to look at the floor. That's my favourite thing
to do.
Look at the floor.
Yeah. I know that this is completely not going to happen, but if I could somehow finish at Epcot by doing my absolute favourite Spaceship Earth and watching the fireworks show at Epcot, I think I'll finish there, maybe with Tepenedo for dinner.
I'd say that's achievable. I'd say that.
Do you think so?
Yes, I'd say that is achievable, maybe with some extra magic hours at the end of the day at Epcot. Mm. But I mean, the fireworks are only 9 and Animal Kingdom tends to close like 7-ish. So I think you've got time and fireworks.
I think then it's doable.
Spaceship Earth and then maybe dinner after that, maybe.
This is very difficult though, because obviously I haven't even included Hollywood Studios, and I am desperate to try both Mickey's Runaway Railway and Rise of the Resistance. So I haven't, but I haven't done them yet, so I don't know what I'm missing. But at least if I'm over at Epcot, maybe I could do classic Spaceship Earth and then do the brand new Guardians ride as well. So I get a bit of new and old when I get to Epcot.
New and old Epcot. Have you got any trips planned in the near future? Are you thinking about, or have you penciled anything in?
No, not coming up. I really want to get to World soon. But to be honest, I'm finding it hard to justify World when I really, really want to go to Tokyo Disney Sea in Japan.
Same. Yep.
I actually don't know anybody who's been personally, but you know, just from the few things that I've seen, I'm a massive fan of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, which is, you know, this part of Disney lore about the explorers and adventurers that, you know, that people who don't necessarily know the theme parks might not understand. But from what I know, Disney Sea in Tokyo really does embrace those characters and that world.
Yes.
So it's something I'm desperate to do. However, you know, getting to Japan and doing that is a bit of a stretch. So I might have to wait for that one until just the right moment comes along. But yeah, hopefully I'll be back in Disney World within the next year or two.
If you go to Japan, you could probably go via Hong Kong to hit another park.
Yeah. And then do both.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, whilst you're over there, it'd be rude not to, I suppose.
And then, you know, it's only a few hundred miles away. Fly over to China on your way back. I mean, why not do all six six castles then? You're done. Yeah. Or fly back via Alani and
or
go
retire.
To Hawaii and then get a cruise. Why not? Yeah. And then you'll have to work all the way through your retirement to pay for it. But I like the idea.
Yeah.
In an ideal world. Where can we find more about you? What are you up to at the moment if anybody wants to say hello?
So you can find me online, just search my name, which is Maddie Moat. I am currently spending quite a lot of time making YouTube videos. I make videos about science, but I sort of like go on interesting adventures to find answers to curious questions and then a little bit about science at the same time. But I'm actually currently writing a book all about interesting facts and stories and traditions about festive holidays, including Christmas. Ah. So it might be March at the moment, but I'm actually writing a Christmas book, which will be coming out later in the year. So
at Christmas, obviously.
I would love it. I'd love it if anybody wanted to take a look at that.
Have you done Festival of the Holidays over at Epcot?
Yes, I have. So last time I went in 2019, that's the festival that was on. I mean, that's one of the wonderful things about Epcot, isn't it? Is that, you know, once upon a time I used to do it, you know, we used to try and eat at a lot of restaurants there. But more often than not in recent years, whenever I've been in Epcot, there's been a festival on. So actually it's much more fun to just snack around the world and try food from the food booths. But yeah, Festival of the Holidays was, it was wonderful. Loved it.
So everything, when we watch Maddie now, we're going to see the Epcot inspiration behind everything that you do.
So true.
Hidden somewhere.
It's not even subtle.
In your face. She's got a big spaceship Earth behind her. She's very obvious about it. Lovely chatting to you, Maddie, and have a magical day.
Have a magical day.
Fancy joining me on the podcast? Do give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Pod Magical. Let me know. Maybe you've just come back or maybe you're going. We could get a date and diary to get you on talking about your favourite memories and your favourite Walt Disney World things, because everybody's got a different story. If you are going over the next few weeks for Easter, well, it is going to be busy because it's Easter. There was a little bit of a lull. There was spring break crowds, and then there's like a mini Easter lull over the last week, but it's going to be back again for Easter. It's also getting very humid over there as well, I do believe. Lots going on. We've got the last few days of the 50th celebrations. They will come to an end very soon. A bit of an anticlimax to something that wasn't really as exciting as we hoped it would be, but pandemic and things kind of put a bit of a dampener on the 50th celebrations, but that finishes very soon. Of course, Tron is, well, it's already testing. They're already taking people on there, but it officially opens in the next few days. Over at Epcot, you've got the Flower and Garden Festival with the Garden Rocks concert series over the next couple of weeks. Mickey Thomas from Starship, Don Felder from the Eagles will be appearing. Universal have still got their Mardi Gras for the next couple of weeks, and also over at SeaWorld, they've got their Seven Seas Food Festival. Over at Bayside Stadium, there are some live appearances there as well, including Smokey Robinson, Motown legend, who is going to be on this coming Sunday. If you happen to be going this weekend, you want to see Smokey Robinson, he's on at SeaWorld on Sunday night. If you are going, don't forget to tag us in your pictures, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and we can share them and we can live your Disney life through you while we're at home, stuffing our faces with Easter eggs. Most likely. We'll finish with a top tip as we do on every episode. Now, this episode, the top tip is all about the park reservation system. Yes, it's really annoying, but if you want to get in the park with your tickets, you have to reserve the park for every day. Now, if you think there might be a day you're going to Universal or SeaWorld or just not to the parks, I would still make a park reservation anyway. If you've got that 14-day ticket and you're going to be there for 14 days, you might as well make a reservation. So, for example, you think, oh, we'll just have a lazy pool day today. We won't bother making a park reservation. And then at night you go, let's go over to Magic Kingdom to watch the fireworks. If you've not got that park reservation for Magic Kingdom, then you're not going to get in. And it might have already gone. So even the days you're not planning on going to any parks, just make a park reservation anyway. Otherwise, you're just going to lose it. Might as well. Back in 2 weeks with a brand new podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, then you don't miss it. And until then, please stand clear of the doors.